Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 60 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I am, as per usual, your host, Chris Lipscomb. I'm joined this week by editor-in-chief of thesixaxis.com and managing director of Oscar Mike Media, Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
Hola.
We're also joined this week by regular contributor to the podcast and all-around lovely gent, Kev Adset. Say hello, Kev.
Like a baby hedgehog left in the rain, I seem to have contracted the sniffles.
Oh, dear. Aww. And finally, filling in for an absent Lewis Gaston, the news editor of SixAxis.com and a man who has a new job.
Hooray!
Dan Lee. Say hello, Dan.
You all right, slags?
It's so all good right. To have you back.
So no Lewis this week, just because he wasn't feeling up to doing the podcast, unfortunately. I'm sure he'll be back next week, being his normal twatish self.
Love you.
I hope so.
So coming up on this week's podcast, we got the news, like we normally do. Bit of Mass Effect chat, that kind of thing. A little bit of Halo and sorcery. Peter will be guiding us through the wonders of Kinect Star Wars. Probably take a look at some comic books. And, of course, whatever that else we really feel like talking about, which will probably be anything. Maybe wrestling. I'm sure everyone loves that. But obviously, kicking things off, it's time for the news. And Maura Stewart is back this week.
She will be once she can find the script.
She's found the script.
That never happened on the BBC.
Well, she's not on the BBC anymore. Come on over, Moira.
Hello, thank you.
Good evening, I'm Moira Stewart, and here are the news at headlines at... The week has seen increased rumours about a sequel in the God of War series. With little left in Greece for series protagonist Kratos to kill, it seems plausible that other pantheons may make an appearance. Perhaps a skiing holiday in Scandinavia is in order. In unemployment news, Sony have announced the cutting of 10,000 jobs across the company as a whole. In a prepared statement, Kaz Hirai, who took over the roles of president and CEO of the electronics giant in April the 1st, revealed that some of the 10,000 employees affected would be given jobs at partner companies. He also announced a refocusing on their camera, games, and mobile offerings, with other divisions being scaled back. Finally, much-maligned Bethesda RPG Skyrim is gaining support for Kinect. Whilst many have joked about being able to issue your shouts via voice control, it's now become a reality. Hopefully, players will realise they can't actually defeat dragons with their newfound abilities.
Thanks, Moira.
Excellent, thank you very
much,
Moira.
Bye, Kev.
She's just off. She's
there
for dinner.
Yeah. Well, she's got a nice player tonight. God of War 4. I personally am in favour of Peter's prediction of this, that it's going to be a Facebook game.
Oh, it would be brilliant.
I can't believe
it.
I saw
game.
That comment that you linked back to on Twitter today, that you left on the Six Axis, just basically predicting what seems to now becoming a reality.
It's got to be. It's got to be that. Why would it be anything else?
Oh, it would be so funny. People would shit themselves. With rage.
They would.
I'm literally so angry right now, I've just pooed. That's how angry I am. Yeah. Happens. Yeah. Happens to the best of us.
That's just that's what happens with me sometimes, you know? And also, I'd play that, because it sounds fucking terrible. So obviously I'd play it.
You do like to play terrible games.
It's true. Just anything terrible, really. I mean, like, Step Up, that's pretty bad, but I still love it.
I seem to, when I was a kid, I just always bought rubbish games for, like, PS1 and PS2. I remember I had Robot Wars by the BBC, the game. That was pretty bad.
It's quite poor.
I linked to a game that I had on PC earlier today on Twitter. It was called Head Extreme Destruction Zone, or Heads with a Z, which was truly awful, but I loved it.
Do you remember those games you used to get that were, like... You could move left to right, and then there was like three levels where it looked like cars moving towards you because they just turned it on the display.
Yes.
Yeah, I used to love those. Those were awesome.
They were,
but they're also
cool.
Absolutely terrible.
Well, sure. Yeah, that Heads game was made just when they went, oh my god, we can actually make games in 3D, but before they had any sort of technology to back it up. So everything other than the 3D-ness was like sprites, and like the character model was the only 3D thing, and the environment. But yeah, just awful. But then, you know, I bought Croc Legend of the Gobbos and enjoyed that, and that was equally as good. But actually, it probably was better. Croc was a bit of a legend. It was like, skadoosh!
I always thought that Croc was kind of the forerunner before, like, Spyro and that other one, the Gecko thing.
Yeah. Oh, who was the Gecko?
Gex.
Gex. Yes. Wasn't he a spy?
I don't. We'll see. Never played it.
No, same. That'd be ridiculous. Gex.
Imagine playing a game like that. So, yeah, it looks like God of War 4 is coming then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't played any of the others. I played a little bit of the first one on the HD collection. Got bored. Stopped.
Yeah.
Was like, I played. Screw this! I'm going back to Dante's Inferno.
Controversial. Hmm. I played quite a lot of the third one, but never really enjoyed it. I just sort of kept playing it, trying to hope that I would enjoy it.
It's no Heavenly Sword, is it?
Oh, I love Heavenly Sword.
Heavenly Sword's awesome.
I've never played Heavenly Sword.
Oh. I got it with my PlayStation, and it rewarded me in ways I thought impossible.
In ways you barely thought imaginable.
Exactly. It's really good. And Andy Serkis is the bad guy, so what more could you want?
And it was written by Terry Pratchett's daughter.
So, if that's not a winning combination, I don't know what is.
I never get that. It's just like, written by his daughter. I'm like, that's not how storytelling works.
So,
yeah. My granddad was a cobbler, but you wouldn't want a pair of shoes that I made.
No.
Believe me.
I've made my fair pairs of shoes, and they've all been disasters.
Did not go well.
Do not try and make clogs out of cheese. Does not work.
Mm. Cheese clogs. I suppose my dad was a publican, and I can serve in a pub. So
there you go.
Clearly, it works for everything. I could serve in a pub, but I also started serving in a pub when I was like 10. So.
Didn't you used to just probably sit on the bar?
No, I used to serve behind the bar occasionally, just a little bit, and do waiting tables as well.
I wonder why this podcast always runs long.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it?
I honestly can't fathom why.
Shall we go on with the news?
Should we do like a separate podcast that's just Chris's past?
Yeah, just talking about Chris sitting.
Chris's
on the
pod past.
Yes. Oh, that would be terrible.
Yeah.
We'll do that and we'll do a terrible wrestling podcast. Oh, Jesus.
I'm out.
So God of War thing is probably a... God of War 4 is probably a thing. Sticking with Sony are cutting 10,000 jobs. That is a lot of jobs. Condolences to anyone at Sony who has lost their job.
Yeah, but I think that is sort of part of a big restructuring thing, and they've said that they're going to shuffle those jobs off to, like, subsidiaries and external companies.
Well, they said some of those jobs.
Yeah, so,
which is a very vague, not a number at all.
No, but it sounds to me like it might be a case of selling the factories to somebody and then just sort of using the factories to build their stuff.
Oh, yeah, certainly, but there's still going to be significant losses in logistics and management, that kind of thing, if they don't need those factories anymore.
So. Yeah, probably. But on the positive side, they are going to focus on the stuff that they've been doing quite well for the past few years.
Yeah, it could be games and phones and cameras and not TVs or laptops or MP3 players.
Yeah, which have generally been overpriced, I think, for the past 10 years or so.
No one buys a Sony Walkman anymore.
No. Well, this is it. Even iPod sales are going down, aren't they?
Well, the problem as well is that Sony Walkman, the Sony Walkman software is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, so is the iPod software, for that matter.
Yeah, iTunes. Yeah, but the worst thing that Apple will do.
Yeah,
isn't it?
No, but iTunes is just slow. But
yeah,
it
does work.
If you're patient with it, you're like, okay, well, I know what I'm doing here. Whereas, from what I understand, the Sony stuff is more incomprehensible than the Media Manager thing for. Whatever it's called, Media Go, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, that's dreadful.
It's worse than that, from what I've heard. So, yeah, that's not good.
So, yeah, but they're going to focus on the games which have been allegedly making the money. And their cameras, which have been doing alright, I think.
Are Sony cameras good? I don't know anyone with a Sony camera.
Sony made, a few years ago, they made quite a decent DSLR, but it never it was sort of at the budget end and never really got much traction. And then the point and shoot cameras are generally quite good, but they're a little bit overpriced. Sony make really good lenses and sensors. But I think they make the sensor that goes in the iPhone now.
But I think it's their point and shoot is where they've been doing quite well.
Yeah, it'll be consumer cameras.
Yeah, because no one's in like proper photographers are probably are unlikely to buy Sony DSLRs.
Well, no, pro photographers buy Canon or Nikon.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas general public will buy anything that's cheap and a brand they know.
Yeah. And then the other thing that they're focusing on is their mobile phone stuff, which has, I think, over the past year or so, really picked up.
Well, it's also that they fold the Ericsson bit's gone now, so it's all Sony stuff.
Yeah. And that's the other message that came out of this press release, was that they, I think it actually mentioned the phrase, One Sony.
Yeah.
Which is quite a development for them.
That's the name of the initiative.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. I wonder if Spender, Sony... right?
No, he's destitute. He hasn't got a mobile phone anymore.
That's how it works, right? Sorry, Sven, Sven Eriksson, who used to own Sony. Yeah, I don't know if that was obvious from the lack of laughing.
Yeah.
Well, everybody laugh at Kev's really funny joke.
Oh, no, that doesn't count when it's me, does it?
As long as Jack Tretton keeps his job, I'm happy.
Yeah, probably will. Who would sack Jack Tretton?
Who could? Maybe yeah. Kevin Butler, and that's it.
Look, Kasserai's not going to go into a meeting and sack him, is he? He could fit Kasserai in his pocket.
Yeah.
Kasserai comes in to sack him, and Tretton just rolls up his sleeves and goes, "Nah, I've forgotten what I was talking about, so don't worry about it."
Exactly.
Can I get your coffee, Jack?
Yeah. Continuing our theme of a mild crush on Jack Tretton.
Which is not so mild.
No. Hell of a man. Hell of a man. And finally, Skyrim Connect is just... What?
Yeah, Skyrim Connect. It's not a joke anymore.
Someone at Bethesda's gone, "So right, so we could fix these bugs or connect."
Oh my god, you could shout at Skyrim!
Yeah.
All spiraled out of control from there.
Yeah,
the fact that this has Bethesda's just been listening to internet jokes and gone, "Yeah, that's a good idea." Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, the next patch is going to change all non-player dialogue to that arrow in the knee thing.
Oh god!
Just everything that any non-player character says is going to be that arrow in the knee thing.
Yeah, great.
Because that's how it works, apparently.
I just think that you know the using the voice to communicate with your allies is just really natural. Ally, wait. Ally, follow.
Yeah.
It's basically a conversation.
Pretty much.
Exactly. That's how I talk to people.
Yeah. I don't actually refer to anyone by name. I just call them ally or enemy.
Yeah. But why are you talking to your enemies? What are you saying to them?
You got to keep them close, haven't you? Don't you listen to the Proverbs?
Oh.
Can't move for enemies around me. That's how close.
Is that where you live with Kate?
Just like a human shield.
Is Kate actually your worst enemy?
No. No, not Kate. She's a very close friend.
Oh.
The closest of friends. Hey, it turns out I might be playing Dungeons & Dragons soon.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, never played that before. So, didn't he?
We didn't play Dungeons and Dragons, but we played a similar game at your house once, didn't we?
Oh yeah, we did. Maybe that was Dungeons and Dragons. That was too many people. No, you can't play with like 12 people who have never played before. It just doesn't work.
It worked quite well, I thought. It was awesome. I tried to shoot Davs.
Yeah, Davs didn't play very well though. He was just like, "No, I'm invincible." That's not how it works. There are rules.
Yeah. Fuck, I tried to shoot him in the head and he rolled save, bastard.
Anyway,
that's even more geeky than this podcast
permits, I think. So.
Yeah. But yeah, Skyrim Connect is a thing, whatever. I don't know who's running Business Management Bethesda now. Just, what the fuck are you doing?
The other things that they're adding in look pretty cool. The voice control for the menus and stuff, for sorting the menus.
Yeah.
All that looks quite useful, but it also looks like stuff that would be kind of useful with a controller as well.
And also stuff that would be useful if it works every time you actually want to do it, which isn't we've seen yet. My friend,
in the video.
My friend at work, Paco, is a Spanish man, and he just can't get along with any voice recognition software because it just hasn't got a clue what he's saying. If he's speaking English. If he's speaking Spanish, he's got no chance, but... yeah, so...
I believe the Scottish have the same problem.
Yes, yeah. I believe they do. In fact, anyone with an accent that's not UK or US standard English. Don't know.
To be fair, though, I love that, though, because it just leaves me this image of Alex just shouting his iPhone constantly.
Yeah.
It's probably true.
Siri! Siri! What are you doing? Well, hey, Siri, what are you doing?
Although, I do feel the need to point out that Alex isn't actually Scottish.
Yes, he is, no matter what he tells you.
Yeah, but he's got a weird accent now.
He's from the north.
Yeah, weird. Yeah, exactly. North, weird Scotland.
North is a weird accent.
He's like a weird North Scotland man.
Oh dear.
No, let's be honest. He is
and
Scottish.
To be fair,
the joke's over. We've all had a laugh. He is a Scottish man.
And to be fair, his accent has aspects of Scottish in it now, like a little bit, not hugely.
Do you think?
I genuinely thought it was Scottish when I first heard him on the podcast.
I think he's got tinges of it in it, definitely.
Really?
Yeah, probably because he was northern to start with, so it's just.
It's not far. Us lot can't tell the difference. Anywhere north of London, it's like, are you Scottish?
Yeah.
Hey up, mate. You're all right. Oh, are you Highlander? Oh, I like that film. Yeah, good.
I'd just say though, I went to Bradford. It turns out northern people are very friendly.
Yeah, they're lovely. Nice people. Much nicer than the southern bastards we get.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You were looking at me. I didn't know if you were going to steal my wallet. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I went to Nando's there. The man was very friendly. It was, terrifyingly friendly. I got a little bit worried. We're not used to that in the south.
We're not. Sorry. I was just wondering what exactly it was that you wanted from me. I just tried to ascertain the reason for our conversation.
Skyrim!
Oh yeah, sorry. Thanks, Dan.
Skyrim Connect, whatever. Moving swiftly on, because I don't know what we're talking about anymore. Kev.
Yes.
You have been playing Mass Effect 3.
I have.
Would you like to talk about it? Peter, have you been playing any of that game, or...?
I have played a little bit.
Oh, you can talk about it as well, then.
Well, I was...
Dan, or...
Oh, sorry, Dan. Please.
What?
Have you been talking about it, or have you been playing Mass Effect 3, or...?
Yeah, I finished it in 24 hours. No, sorry, 48 hours.
Straight? Was that...
No, I just played it kind of 25 hours worth in 2 days.
Nice.
Well, you can all talk about
that. That's basically all waking hours, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty much kind of, I'll just do this quest. I might as well do this one as well, and this one, and this one.
Yeah, it has that effect. Well, I was off from work the latter half of yesterday, which, whilst meaning I had to lie down for most of the day, did mean I got to lie down on the sofa in front of Mass Effect 3, so it kind of worked out all right. But yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it?
It's the tone of it is completely different to Mass Effect 2. It's kind of it's almost depressing... I don't know, I just found it quite depressing because you're kind of, everything you do is just,
it's all
you're going
a bit hopeless.
Towards this climax where you know something's going to happen and it's probably not going to be the best thing in the world.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, it is. No, I hadn't really thought of that, but it is a much sort of more sombre tone. And also, no matter how many people I try and bone, I keep getting knocked back.
Wow, you're really not playing it very well.
No, I mustn't be.
They make it so easy for you. No, I don't know.
Yeah, so far I've had a crack at the lesbian, and then
I can point out your first mistake there.
Yeah, I took another run at Liara, the blue lizard woman.
Oh yeah,
and she seems to just want to be friends.
Yeah, but there are very specific requirements you have to meet. It's not just a case of keep talking to her. You have to I can't remember what it was, but you have to talk to her at a set point, then meet her at the Citadel. At another set point, and then talk to her before a key mission, and then meet her somewhere else. So it's kind of there's a lot of arsing
too
around.
Much hassle,
yeah. Effort.
Yeah.
Needy.
Apparently,
not
I
even real
women
are worth that much.
I romanced Liara in the first game, although I never played the first game. According to the interactive comic that you get on PS2, that's what I did. Although I kind of regret. I think Ashley's more kind of my thing these days.
What, being human?
Yeah, enough? Being a human woman, sort of what I'm into.
Speciesist.
Yeah, I know. And look, don't get me wrong. You know, Liara is a beautiful Asari lady. You know, in her own way, but she is blue and has tentacles on her head. So,
and she will live to be 1,000.
Yeah, that's never going to work out, is it?
It's a tricky one.
So, romance aside, Mass Effect 3 is proving to be pretty good. Like, I quite like it, and that, you know. And I think that the combat is as good as it was in the second one. I think it's a shame they haven't improved on the, you know, that close quarters, like hand to hand and that. Is it alright if I do the rest of the review? Wow. I don't know why, it's just easier to
could
describe
we even
my feelings
stop you
about
if it wasn't.
I don't think you could, to be honest.
It's quite good though.
Thanks. Yeah.
Previously I thought your best impression was of a middle aged black woman.
Well, I'm a man of many voices. Mostly middle aged women.
Yeah, anyway, Mass Effect 3.
What I was saying, despite it being in an accent of not my own, it still holds, I feel. The combat, they really could have done something with the hand-to-hand, and as it is, you just kind of run towards someone, do a hand-to-hand move, and you can't see where they've gone because you haven't turned around quick enough, and it's just a bit...
Yeah, the melee combat is a little bit... It's still a bit rough. I think the shooting and the cover and all that sort of stuff is... I thought that was... pretty good in Mass Effect 2, but I think that it's improved slightly in Mass Effect 3 as well.
Yeah.
It feels a lot more sort of fluid, the way you move between cover, and now you can jump over things and all that sort of stuff.
I find myself really wondering what other people's experiences are like, because there's huge chunks of it which kind of rely on the choices that you've made, or at least BioWare do an amazing job of making it feel like they mattered. Like, for example, in Mass Effect 1, Rex... the Krogan could have died, but he didn't for me. And there's been this massive chunk of story which kind of revolves around him in my game.
Yeah, he did for me.
Oh, did he?
Oh, no.
Yeah, in Mass Effect 1, I tried, during that whole conversation that you have, there's like a conversation that decides whether or not you kill him. And I, through that whole conversation, was trying to pick the options to not kill him, because I really liked the character. And I got to the end of that conversation and somebody else shot him.
Oh, man.
Nice of them.
Yeah, I was quite annoyed at that.
His bit in Mass Effect 3, I thought was one of the best... Well, depending on how you go about it, is one of the best bits in the game.
Well, I'm going to have to replay it anyway, because I bought the DLC and it hasn't shown up anywhere. So I'm going to have to start a new game.
Yeah, I didn't buy the DLC, so if I want to experience it... and. Possibly, I'm going to have to start again as well. Although, yesterday, when I was playing, I got a bug in the game that scared the crap out of me. Basically, I won't spoil it too much, but there are Reapers in the game. And when one makes a noise, usually it's just a sort of loud noise, but on mine, it was white noise at the full volume of my speakers. So, yeah, that sort of... that was, yeah... cause for slight concern, and then it turned into a sine wave and then silenced itself again. I don't know, it was really weird. I felt like maybe I was in the Matrix, and I don't know. It's a bit scary.
The Reapers are really coming.
Yeah,
you've basically been contacted.
Yeah. But then once a cutscene started, it just started happening constantly rather than just every time the Reaper made a noise. So I just turned off my PlayStation and started again, and it didn't do it after that. But I kind of wanted to record it, just so I don't seem like a crazy person.
The PS3 version really is a buggy pile of shite.
Self-fulfilling, I suppose.
Is it really that bad?
That's so many.
Yeah, anyone ever experienced that?
No. Okay, no. I've been playing the 360 version, and I've not had any bugs at all yet. But there are some really bad scare stories about the PlayStation 3 version of it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, this was literally... I've had no bugs.
Yeah. I'm glossing over it, Chris. Don't worry, I'm better than that. it was literally the full volume that the game would possibly allow. I don't know how it managed to even circumvent my speaker's volume control. I mean, I could turn it down, but it was so much louder than any sound in the game. was quite odd.
That doesn't sound good.
No. Well, it hasn't.
Imagine if you were, had headphones on.
It would have just. I would have pooed myself, literally. I mean, I was
with rage,
with rage and fear.
No, the only thing, the only bad thing about the Xbox 360 version that I've experienced is having to get up every 5 minutes to change the friggin' disc.
Oh, unlucky. Yeah. I mean, I'm better than that. I'm better than that. That's not something.
it depends what missions you're going on. And then
so some are stored on a certain place. And
Yeah, there would seem to be like a certain point in the game that for about an hour's worth of gameplay, I was getting up literally every 10 minutes.
Annoying.
Switching discs back and forwards.
Well, it's been really nice just lying on the sofa for 6 hours just playing it without any of that sort of interruption.
Yeah.
Something I do quite like is the new loading screens. The old ones in Mass Effect 2 really started to grate on me, but quite like these ones.
Yeah, the new ones will probably start getting to you too, because there are an awful lot of loading sequences.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't think it was as bad as Mass Effect 2.
No, the time seemed a little bit quicker to me. Were you on PS3 or 360, Dan?
PS3.
Hmm. Yeah, I feel like the loading times are quite a lot quicker, especially like moving around the moving around the what's it, the ship, the Normandy.
Yeah,
so much quicker.
Yes.
Aye.
Yeah, it's not really much I can say about it without revealing story, which I don't want to do.
Well, that's the problem. I'm waiting. It's just I want to know you guys' opinion on the ending, but obviously you've not.
We don't have any
not
yet.
Got yeah. That. That's interesting. I mean, the last couple of hours were actually quite depressing in its tone. I don't know. I finished the game feeling quite depressed.
Yeah, right.
Something to look forward to.
Well, yeah, because I can't really say without spoiling it, but obviously you're in a war, and then it just kind of all ramps up and escalates until you know.
All right. Yeah. That's enough. Yeah, come on.
Leave it. And what about you, Christian? How are you finding the beginnings of the Mass Effect?
Yes, Mass Effect challenge to finish one
by
the end of April, isn't
Mass
it?
Effect, I finished one by the end of April. It's terrifying. It asked me to pick things. I didn't like it.
It's really scary. It's like, what? I'll actually make a decision. But what if I make the wrong decision? Can I load again?
Well, but it wasn't even that. It was like right at the beginning. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to play all three games. And I was like, well, okay, so it was like, what class do you want Shepard to be? I was like, what? This is going to stick with me for, like...
You can actually change that at
like
the beginning of the next
hours.
Game if you really hate
it.
But, yeah, that's, like, still 100 hours in. So.
But I knew I could change it in the next game. But
you want to get
like,
it right. You want to be
the
same
you
guy.
Also, you also, like, I kind of feel that changing it just feels a little bit like cheating.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't... I made him... can I change? Yeah, I didn't want to... that one.
Yeah.
What did you go for?
I went for Infiltrator. So, like, the hackery shootery dude. I like him. He's all right. It just means that Garrus has no point.
Yeah, but then
Garrus
I'm
is awesome.
I'm a
he always has a point.
No, he has no purpose at all because he's like,
well, you're the same as me.
Yeah, it's like you're just the same dude I am. You add nothing. You go in and you press X to select him on the squad screen, and nothing moves. And you're like, well, I'm not gonna pick you then. You fuck off. So I've been picking the chick. What's her name? Ashley?
Yeah.
Garrus is a sniper.
No, yeah, that's what I am. Infiltrators are snipers.
Oh, right.
The infiltrator is the sniper hacker dude.
Ah, so then you have to pick soldiers.
Yeah, so I pick Rex. He's pretty awesome. And Ashley, because she's soldier dude.
I'm sorry if I inadvertently revealed any spoilers for ME1.
Oh, I don't care anyway. But yeah, it's alright. I shot a lot of stuff, and then they went. I shot a lot of stuff at the beginning, and then I went to the Citadel, and I wasn't allowed to shoot stuff anymore.
Yeah, I spent 2 hours playing it the other day. Didn't shoot anything. I was just wandering around Citadel talking.
Yeah, now I went to Citadel, and I seem to just be doing a lot of fetch quests in the Citadel.
Well, that's the thing. I went back and played it a couple of weeks ago, and compared to 2 and 3. Mass Effect 1 is just so...
It's just garbage, isn't it? Like, it's gameplay
rough
wise.
As anything. Even on the Normandy, the way you have to get about on using the elevator is so slow.
And I got to a bit in Mako, and I turned it off. because I died.
Mako's terrible.
I died, and I was like, oh, I'm dead. Or I died. I managed to get out of Mako and into this place that I had to infiltrate, and then I died. And I went, you start at the beginning of the Mako bit again. I was like, oh. So I don't start, like, infiltrating the base. It's like, nah, from the beginning. I don't want to play you then, in that case.
No one likes checkpoints that are too far spaced apart. That wasn't very good English, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, the Mako parts of that first game are very rough as well. The way it controls just isn't really much fun.
And also, you go into that the navigation bit, and I got terrified there as well. It's like, here are all the planets you could sponsor. There's too many.
I'm really pleased that Mass Effect 3 has learnt from 2, at least. I don't know, I haven't played 1. In terms of that galaxy map and the things you have to do in it. I'll try not to spoil it for Chris, but I'm really glad that Mass Effect 3 learnt what was wrong with that system.
Yeah, they seem to have listened to the problems that people had with Mass Effect 2 and changed a couple of bits. Like, there's a little bit more like RPG stuff in the third one. You can see the numbers more than you could in the second.
Yeah, I quite like that.
I suppose the thing as well is, like, I'm not a huge RPG kind of guy, so all the flexibility you're given is just kind of overwhelming and terrifying for me. Just like
choices. Can't I just go down a linear path and shoot things?
Yeah, it's like, you can go to all these planets. It's like, which one? Which one do I... It's like, well, you go to this one, you can do this mission, you can do this one, you can do this mission. So I just want to finish the game. Okay.
How do I get to the end?
That's the other thing. I think, Pete, it was probably from a comment you said, but they kind of give you this massively urgent story, like, you need to save everyone. But actually, could you just fetch me this? And while you're at it, I just need to get this thing done. It's just like...
Yeah, that's the same as Mass Effect 1. It's like, what's the... I forget what his name is. The evil dude. The other Spectre. Oh, I've come up with his name.
Saren?
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saren. And they're like, you just stop Saren. Also, can you go investigate this other stuff?
Yeah.
Like, Saren seems pretty important to investigate.
Yeah, and I feel kind of torn between role-playing it. Because obviously Shepard would just go, well, I'll do the priority things because I need to save the universe or whatever. But then... I don't want to miss out, as just a player, if I'm metagaming it, I don't want to miss out on just the stuff that's in the game. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the way that's handled in the third one's quite weird as well, the way you hear sort of conversations when you're just walking past people on the Citadel, and then it adds it into your quest.
I mean, I've got subtitles on most of the time, but if you don't, presumably you don't even hear half the conversation, and then you just get a new thing, like, I need to get a new relay for the guy down on the Citadel.
Yeah, or sometimes, like, I'm at the point now, I'm almost 20 hours in, and I'll be walking through the Citadel, and the little thing will pop up on somebody that means you can talk to them. And you go over and press the button to talk, and he says, here's this thing I couldn't help overhearing. I'm like, what the hell? When did I hear that?
Yeah.
What was the other thing? There's two things there. Oh, firstly, the council are just dicks. Because they're like, we don't believe you. It's like, well, here, I proved this thing. Nah, maybe believe me. That's other things. Like, nah, don't believe that. That's other thing now.
No, that's a recurring theme through all three games. Nobody ever believes him.
It's just like, seriously?
Doesn't matter what he does. Everybody thinks Shepard's a liar.
And the other one is, I was looking at him, I was like, so, A, the entire galaxy is ruled by you three dudes. And B, considering you dudes rule the galaxy, you seem very poorly protected.
Yeah.
Because they're on the Citadel. Nothing can harm the Citadel.
No, but if you got onto the Citadel, they seem pretty easy to assassinate once you're on there.
There's no bodyguards or anything around them.
They're just kind of like...
See, Chris, that's you thinking like an infiltrator.
I'm just kind of there. It seems pretty easy to shoot if I... I mean, I'm not allowed to shoot them, which is fucking annoying. I should be able to shoot
them. Yeah, your guns don't work on the Citadel. That'd be a nightmare to kill.
No, my guns do work. You're just not allowed to shoot anyone on the Citadel. So you can fire them, but if you try and aim it... Yeah, I can fire him, like, into the floor or into the water, but if I try and shoot anyone, it stops me. But it does it in the fucking stupid video game way. Because at least if it went, like, if it popped up with some warning, it was like, you cannot shoot people in the city, I'd be fine with that. But instead, you aim
like
at
you're
someone.
Firing a trigger, just nothing happens.
No. You aim at someone, and Shepard just puts it back into, like, the rest position.
Oh, I see.
And I'm like, oh, all right then. Guess I'm not allowed to shoot them.
Bit boring.
Yeah.
Out of interest, what did Dan and Pete, what kind of guy is your, or gal even, is your Shepard?
Vanguard.
Yeah, I think I was Vanguard in the first game, and then I think I switched it to Soldier for the second.
What does the Vanguard do?
It's a mixture of... I think it's a mixture of, like, Soldier and Biotics.
Yeah, Vanguard is Soldier and Biotic, which it seems to be pretty popular, that one.
Hmm. I'm an adept, or adept, I don't know where the emphasis comes in that word. Anyway, pure Biotic.
That's... Yeah, it's all Biotic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I often think that maybe playing those games like that, because that's basically the same as playing Skyrim, just with spells, just with magic. I often think that it would be interesting to do that, but I never do. Whenever it comes to a choice, I always go, yeah, whatever gets me the biggest chance.
Yeah, fair enough. No, I've yesterday, actually, I've changed my mappings for the first time since basically the beginning of Mass Effect 2. I changed my controller mappings for which powers I'm activating. So now on the left trigger, I've got pull, and on the right trigger, I've got push. Kind of like a Jedi.
To be fair, I do sometimes kind of go, oh, I wish I'd picked biotic powers. Because there, you're like, great, I can shoot people and hack into stuff, I guess.
The thing is, some of the later levels on Mass Effect 3, I can imagine, are going to be a bit of a pain without like heavy weaponry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also only allowed, I'm allowed medium or light or medium armor, and I can train in pistols or sniper rifles.
See, I think that's why I switched from Vanguard to Soldier, is because when I was using biotic powers, it was taking so long to get through anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. The one thing I only realised kind of recently was that if you take guns out of your loadout, your recharge time goes up for your powers. I don't know if that's new for Mass Effect 3.
The recharge thing is dependent on the weight of the guns you carry. So if you pick the light
gun, I've just got a pistol and a light assault rifle, and it's got like a plus 155% recharge time, so I'm basically just constantly biotic powering. So it's kind of cool.
Right.
We should probably move on, shouldn't we?
Yeah, before we shift on onwards too much, though, I'd just like to read this extract that I found, because Medal of Honor Warfighter had a new trailery thing today, didn't it? A thing went up on it on the shop too. Have got like the pre-order up,
right?
And they have the product description bit, and this is the bit I found odd. Written by active US Tier 1 operators while deployed overseas, it's just that bit, and the rest of it goes on the same. It's like, surely they should be doing other stuff. Not writing a video game. This seems like a poor use of time.
I don't think that's true.
And taxpayers' money. Is that?
I really hope that's not true. Because if that is, that's super weird. Just like shooting Al Qaeda or whatever, and then at the end they're like
coding in between.
Yeah. No, we're not. Yeah, I imagine they wrote the story, not like the.
Oh, they didn't write the code.
Because that would be really weird. So who are you going to employ to develop this game? Well, we could coders, or...
I was thinking military vets. Not like keeping
guys.
The horses and dogs in order.
But no, because they're not even vets. They're still on active service.
Yeah.
So just like in between shooting guys. That seems like a bad
counterproductive.
I honestly think Activision, EA just need to just give it a rest for a while. I've got no enthusiasm for any Battlefield, Medal of Honor, Call of Duty games anymore.
That's what EA stands for. Enthusiasm absent.
Yeah.
Well, if you've got no interest for those kind of shooters, perhaps you have interest in a sci-fi shooter like Halo. And on that note, Peter, you've been reading that Halo Fall of Reach graphic novel.
Bam! Smooth. Yes, I have. Not very much. Not as much as I'd have liked, but... I did get there because I wrote a thing for Next Axis and spent basically an entire day researching Halo.
You did, and then you said it to me, and I went, "Nah, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong."
Yeah.
Which I felt a little bit guilty about after I sent that email. I was like, oh, you put effort into this. And
yeah, I spent about 6 hours reading about Halo and the surrounding universe. And then I wrote like a 1500 word.
Yeah.
Article about it, and I thought, right, I need this checked before it gets published, so I'll send it to Chris. Chris came back and telling me like about four things that just needed completely changed.
Yeah. And worryingly, you spent 6 hours researching it, I just went immediately off the top of my head. Yeah. Been, no, I know these things. This is important to me. This is knowledge I have.
You'll feel the same about Mass Effect in due course.
But it really put me in the mood for actually getting involved with some of that supporting fiction stuff. So I looked for, apparently, everything that I've read is that Fall of Reach is the place to start.
Yes.
It's the prequel novel.
Yes.
Comes before the first game, and it's all about the guy that becomes Master Chief.
Yes. John 117.
Well, which one is, where does Contact Harvest fall into it?
So basically, Halo Fall of Reach was the first one ever, and then Contact Harvest was written later, but is the first chronologically.
Yeah, because that's the one I read first.
It's the first chronologically in the Human Covenant stuff. Yeah. There's now a whole there's a whole new trilogy that started about the Forerunners, but that doesn't really... I haven't read that, but I can't imagine it connects like super in-depth to the stuff that happened 100,000 years later.
See, he doesn't have Wikipedia open. Chris just knows this shit.
Yeah.
So anyway, I had a look on, because I don't really do like proper dead tree books anymore. I had a look on Amazon to see if I could get it for Kindle, from the Kindle store, and they don't have it. And they don't have it on iBooks. So then I looked for it as an audiobook. Couldn't find it as an audiobook on iTunes. So the only option for me was either to buy a book, which would just make me feel like a caveman, or to buy the graphic novel. So I bought the graphic novel on my iPad.
Is that right?
And just started reading it. Yeah, it is pretty good, actually. I didn't know that essentially he was kidnapped as a child soldier. That seems a little bit strong.
Yeah, they kind of all were. It's pretty messed up.
Yeah,
it's when you really dig into it.
He's not really a hero soldier. He's a child soldier. He's been brainwashed. But yeah, it's nice. The art style's nice, and it seems reasonably well written for sort of tie-in fiction stuff with a video game. But I've only got through like the first issue. It's like a set. Obviously, these things are all in like, it's a collection, so it's like the four or six or something books all collected into one. And I'm only through the first one so far, so he's just sort of been brought to the camp where they're going to train him. But yeah, quite looking forward to it. And the day that I spent reading about Halo's surrounding fiction has really put me in the mood just to learn more about it and know more about it, because the video games really barely scratch the surface of that universe.
Is what I love about when you actually do go out and read around a video game. It's so much better.
It's amazing the depth that they've put to it.
With Gears of War, it's a franchise I love. It frequently gets slagged off because the games are basically just big men shooting aliens. But if you read the books, and there's just so much more to it, and all the backstories and why they're doing what they're doing. If they could just transfer a fraction of that into the game, it'd be just fantastic.
Yeah, and you kind of think that they would make really good like TV series or something, something where they had like 40, 50 hours to write this stuff for.
Yeah.
They could do it really, really well.
Although, yeah, a lot of the early stuff in Halo would be super uncomfortable to watch.
True. And quite difficult to
cast
it as well.
There's a lot of stuff you can't really cast six-year-olds into that kind of role. Because that's, for people that know, that's how old these kids are when they get kidnapped. They're all about six, seven. That's the general age range. You can't cast six-year-olds and then put them through boot camp, even if it's fictional for TV.
Well, they'd probably change it, so that's what they did with Game of Thrones, didn't they? Because, I mean, I think when it starts, Rob is only, is he like a teenager or something? And he's going off to war and killing people, but in the...
I think Rob's 16.
I think that's in the show he's 16, but I'm sure in the books he was a lot younger. And, Bran was 8 or something like that.
Yeah, Bran was 6 or 8, something like that.
Yeah, well, the stuff in Fall of Reach is fucked up. But, yeah, when you start reading, if you get onto Ghosts of Onyx and finding out stuff about the Spartan Free program, that's really messed up.
And then, of course, they've got Spartan 4s.
Yeah, but you don't know anything about them yet.
Well, you know what they look like.
Yeah, I know what they look like, and I know that they don't wear Mjolnir armor. And I also know that they're adults rather than child conscripts. They're adult volunteers, which is significantly less fucked up and is more in line with the original Spartan 1 program. But yeah.
Too much, Chris.
Sorry, I can talk about Halo a lot.
So yeah, anyway, the Halo universe seems to be quite comprehensive and quite interesting. I'm going to explore a little bit more.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say on the matter.
I can't remember what the book... It's one area of my knowledge is lacking because I always forget names of stuff. But you should read... there's a comic series about Black Team, who are the another team of Spartan 2s. But I can't remember what the series is called, but that's meant to be quite good. So yeah. And that was not a novel, it was written as a graphic novel.
Yeah. So I was quite disappointed that it seems to be the only book they haven't digitised, is Fall of Reach. I assume it was true because it was just too early before they started digitising books.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a real shame.
But it's odd that you couldn't get it as an audio book, because I've got it as an audio book from somewhere.
So it might be on Audible, it wasn't on iTunes.
Yeah, I won't. Yeah. Okay, moving swiftly on to a completely different topic, moving away from space battles to fantasy. Dan, you've been playing Sorcery, the PlayStation 3 Move game that had all of us drooling at its E3 announced and then kind of disappeared, but it's back.
Yes, it is. I was really hoping this was going to be good because it's the only reason I kept PlayStation Move.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. It's kind of had a massive graphical overhaul now on running on the Unreal Engine. It's, I wouldn't say realistic style, but it's a lot more realistic than it was initially. So you control Finn, who's like quite a overconfident apprentice wizard.
Classic archetype.
It is a bit kind of very.
Is he Mickey Mouse?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, it sounds like it's that. He sounds like Mickey Mouse in Fantasia or Luke from Star Wars. He sounds like the cocky kid.
Yeah.
I'm sure, given the course of his journey, he'll learn the error of his ways and a bit of humility.
That's exactly what happens. I played it for a few hours. It's like, it's pretty much the more power you get, the more you realise, you know, with great power, you know, comes with great
Spider-Man style. But that's okay. I don't think anyone was expecting to necessarily shatter the boundaries.
It's a decent story. And the characters in it are likeable. I'm not allowed to mention the second character.
What, the little cat thing?
Yeah, because
don't mention.
Sony will ninja-fy me in the face.
Well, it's been in trailers.
The cat has.
Right.
Oh.
Spoilers.
But not the thing that transformed into the cat. Allegedly.
Anyway.
McGonagall.
I do not comment on rumour or speculation.
And I'm just completely guessing.
Yeah, good. Anyway. No, Move controls. It's... The move controls your wand. So you know, flicking it around will cast various spells.
It's really difficult to not be immature when you're saying flicking it around and talking about your wand. I'll try my best.
Don't call it my wand.
Well, you're missing out on a trick. A magic trick. Forget it. Move on. Sorry.
Yeah. We're going to make this disappear. anyway, yeah.
So. 9 months later, Jay.
Yes. Oh, he thought I'd have learnt, but no. Happened again. Where was I? Yes.
Sorry, I'm trying to derail.
No, I mean, the first thing you do when... Because you don't actually get a wand, you steal one from your master. And the first thing you do when you actually leave the house is just mess around and turn, like, pigs into rats and sheep into pigs and stuff like that.
What's the obsession with transforming animals?
It's the first... Well, it's kind of... They don't make you do it. It's like you leave and you're like, right, I've got this wand. It's like, right, what can I do? And you just kind of...
Oh, nice.
Kind of cast spells around and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to
Oh, so you can just mess about. It's not like
yeah. The first,
it's not linear.
It is linear. This is like the first area before you actually set off properly. You've got the wand and you can walk around for a little bit, and it's just like turning jars into pumpkins. It's really just to kind of get used to the aiming. But you have basically you got your straight shots. You just kind of flick, move forward. You can. Have you ever seen the film? Is it Wanted, where they flick bullets?
You can kind of do that if you
kind of sweep the move round in a circular motion. You can curve magic bolts around obstacles to hit enemies that are hiding. You also get a number of spells. You gradually unlock a number of spells you can cast by kind of tracing shapes in the air. It's pretty good. The only problem I have is trying to hit targets that are far away isn't that brilliant, because normally what I was doing was firing to the left, to the right, above them, below them. It's like any frigging way but hitting the enemy. And the camera's also pretty shit. It just can't seem to, because it's move, you've got no second analog stick to control the camera, so it just does what it wants. And normally what it wants is just to spin around in circles as you get the shit kicked out of you.
To be fair, that's all I want.
That's all I've ever wanted.
Surely they should just lock that stuff behind the camera.
That's the thing. It's like, why just... Or even just use a target lock. Allow you to lock onto an enemy and keep on that enemy. It doesn't. So the chances of you hitting the same enemy twice in some occasions are pretty minimal. Especially when... Because it's... Although it's for move, it's not an easy game. They do chuck a lot of enemies at you.
That's quite good though, because there's an awful lot of sort of casual stuff.
You can play on casual, but the normal mode, it's difficult, but in some instances it's a bit cheap as well, because some of the enemies, if you get knocked to the ground, normally you get like a period of invincibility when you're getting back up again, getting back to your feet. But you don't get that in sorcery. So if one enemy knocks you to the ground, another one can just come up and hit you, and then the other one will jump back and hit you. So you could lose pretty much most of your health bar by just getting knocked down to the ground once.
Well, and you can't defend against that.
No, you can't defend because you're getting up.
Hmm.
So you sort of locked in the animation.
Yeah,
I'm not sure about that.
That's not brilliant. So it's a mixture. The controls are mostly really positive. I like what they've done with it. Casting spells, I mean, after a few hours, it didn't get boring. The way they make you combine spells to progress, so for example, there's a oversized enemy, you can't just fire a spell at him, you have to combine you throw a whirlwind spell at him and then cast flame into the whirlwind, so it creates like a massive flaming ball of death, and then shoot another bolt into that and it will hit the whirlwind and send off like firebolts everywhere. So you combining spells, that's a really, really good thing.
That sounds pretty cool.
So yeah, it's pretty linear, so you can kind of go off the beaten track a little bit, but it always leads you back to the main path, so you never really get lost.
Does it feel fairly powerful when you're doing the magic bits? Or does it just feel like...
Initially, with some, because...
Flapping about.
Yeah, now that you mention it, some of them, like... Because each spell has a secondary function. So, for example, you can fire ice directly at an opponent, or you can flick move sideways, and it will just kind of create an icy mist that will freeze most things within a certain radius. And then you can smash them with your shield. And they've nailed that pretty well. I mean, even just your standard bolt will kind of knock back a regular enemy and kind of hit them, and they'll go straight to the floor. So that's done really well. It's coming along quite nicely.
Has it got a release date yet?
Yeah, end of May.
Mm.
I'm not sure it's going to be like the 9 out of 10 game that most people want it to be.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's good. But there were times when I was playing it that if I wasn't playing it in a rush for a preview, I would have probably stopped just because you know, it was getting a bit samey.
I think at this point people just want something to use their move with.
Yeah, that will scratch that itch quite easily.
I think it'll do quite well for that, and then we'll see what Sony have for the end of the year. Because they really don't seem to have supported Move very
well. I think it's such a shame, because the technology is so good. Like, Sports Champions, even though it was a soulless monster, had some really good showcases of what it could do. Like, the table tennis was just flawless, in my opinion, in terms of the technology.
This is the one in terms of showing off the technology, but I mean, it's too late to show it off because it's been out for how long now?
They just need to chuck ridiculous amount of games at it. Good games. Don't know. It's just a bit too late, I suppose.
Yeah. Decent game.
We'll call it a 7.
I'd hyped it up too much in my mind because, you know, obviously looking at the trailers and stuff, it looked amazing. And when you actually play it, it's like, well, yeah, it's good. The controls are good. It's just kind of pretty linear. If it was released without Move controls, I don't think it would get very good scores at all, to be honest. In terms of, you know, you're on this fixed path, and that's it. Kind of generic enemies. Who knows? It depends. If they release this as a £40 game, that would be the biggest mistake they'll ever make.
And yet, it seems to have been in development so long that they can't really afford not to.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't buy it for £40.
Saying that, like, Mass Effect 3 went down to £20 on Amazon within 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so ridiculous. So.
Yeah. Yes, this is it. It's. I think a lot of that stuff comes down in price fairly quickly because it's. There's just not really a market for it now, is there? The way video game retail has gone in the past few months, even, is
I was convinced it was a download title, which is why I was quite surprised when I got a disc through the post. I don't know why I thought it was download.
Just seems kind of downloady, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's nowhere near the quality in terms graphically of a full title.
Yeah, it just and everything about it just kind of feels like a kind of indie title. That you'd expect to download.
That's exactly it. If this was on Steam for like £15, they'd get away with that quite easily because it is that kind of title. But I don't know. Just doesn't. Nothing about it screams like full price retail product.
It kind of reminds me a bit like that Trine game in terms of that's pretty good. Like that's quite good graphics, but for a downloadable title.
Yeah. Yeah, it has a very sort of distinct look to it. Not even the art style, just sort of the way it looks. And yeah, I know what you mean.
But yeah,
Shame.
We'll see. It's
solid.
Solid, yeah, real solid game. Lots of enjoyment to be had, but then you know it gets a bit samey. But obviously, I didn't finish it, so I can't comment on the.
I think I probably will get it just because I want. Something good for
you'll get a decent. I mean, the preview. I just kept playing and playing and playing. I thought it was going to cut out at some point, but it just went on for hours. So yeah, there's potentially a lot of game there. It's just I can't see how much further they can take the concept though, because I mean, there was a few more spells to unlock, but that was really about it.
Was your arm aching at all?
At points when I got annoyed. Because I couldn't hit certain targets, I was basically shaking the move around like an idiot because I was just getting pissed off.
Yeah.
But generally, the way it's spaced is you'll have quite a big fight, and then there's almost like a rest period where you'll do some exploring. So there's always that kind of period to kind of rest your arm. But yeah, I can imagine playing for a number of hours would get quite tiring. But I had to because it was like preview.
That was it. That was a problem I had with Kinect Star Wars for the review. Was there's bits of the main story of that requires you to, you're riding on a speeder bike, so you have to have your hands out in front of you, and the pod racing, you have your arms out in front of you, like you're driving a pod racer. And for, like, it sounds really silly, but for over the space of like a 3 to 5 minute race, by the end of it, your arms are really aching.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not even like certain Wii games, you can't kind of bluff it. You really have to do the motions because it can see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, if you just try holding your hands out, even just at your side, like, it's quite difficult to do for more than 10 seconds without it going, yeah, okay, starting to feel that. So, yeah, if you're doing that for 5 minutes or whatever.
So, Peter, just how did you find Star Wars Connect?
About 80% shit.
Did you like the dancing? Were you really into the dancing?
You see, the thing about the dancing in Star Wars Connect is that it is dance central.
You so seem quite into the dancing.
Better than Vodafone advert starring Yoda.
Yeah, marginally.
Because they make me hurt inside.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've kind of, over the past little while, I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that Star Wars just isn't what I wanted it to be anymore. I've given up on it. I still love the original trilogy, but just everything made after 1999 has been various levels of shit. And this Kinect Star Wars, it falls into that category quite neatly. It has a couple of bits in it that are entertaining enough. The Rancor Rampage stuff is brilliant, but that's because it's big, wide body movements, and basically you just stomp around swinging your arms and things fall over.
Something that Kinect
did look
quite
amazing
well
doing that. That was brilliant.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
It's like a music video to Thriller. It was. Oh man, someone should definitely remix that video.
But the lightsaber battles are the most disappointing thing in any Star Wars game ever.
Well, it's just, I mean, why haven't they done it with PlayStation Move? Like, it's even got a glowing end so that they could change to the colour of the lightsaber that you're holding.
Yeah, it's in Kinect Star Wars, the way it works, you have to stand with your hand out like you're holding onto a lightsaber, and it maps reasonably accurately to your hand, although it is difficult to... It doesn't really gauge, like, if you twist your wrist, it doesn't gauge that you would tilt the lightsaber to its side. So you stand there holding your hand out in a fist in front of you with no lightsaber in it, so you already feel like a bit of a dick. And then your opponent, it is slow motion. It's not even like it feels like slow motion. It actually is slow motion. They lean to one side, and you know that's where the hit's going to come from. And then you have to move your hand to that side to block it. And all this takes, like, maybe 5 to 10 seconds, which is far too long. So it takes...
It's not really the sort of lightning speed reactions that you'd expect from a Jedi fight.
Yeah, you would hope to be sort of watching for the first sign of movement, and then you can counter it quickly, but it's so slow and boring. And then sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes you move your arm over to that direction to try and block it, and you get hit anyway, and you don't really know why. And you have to deflect a certain number of hits before your enemy is then stunned, and then you can attack them. So there's no sort of parry and riposte. It's just, I'll hold my hand out in this direction, and then in this direction. It's kind of like a QuickTime event, but you're not hitting buttons, you're holding your arms in different spaces.
I think they've missed a trick by not releasing some kind of peripheral, lightsaber peripheral.
Yeah, they really should have done. And I would imagine that if they had done something like that and made... I don't know, even like a big glowing blue stick that you could use for a lightsaber. They could have made Kinect track to
but
it much more
so accurate. Much against their entire marketing strategy, isn't it? Like, just, it would be too much of a step down. You are the controller if you hold this controller.
But, I don't know, it's a real... Like, they really haven't done anywhere near enough with the license. And, it was number one in the charts last week. And that's because it has the Star Wars license. I mean, kids will love it. And I've heard stories about people's kids playing it. And, like, 4 or 5 year old kids think it's fantastic because you get to stand in front of the TV and wave your arms about. And the little Star Wars cartoon characters do stuff. And that's, you know, that's going to be cool for a certain age group. But they don't do what you want them to do.
Oh, you look so happy when you're being a rancor.
Kids just, I mean, in my experience, little kids just wave their arms in front of the TV anyway, so...
Yeah. But it's not... There are so many better, even Kinect games. Now, the Kinect Rush came out, I think, the week before this. And it's like a Disney Pixar themed, similar sort of thing, like mini game stuff. It's far, far better than Kinect Star Wars. You know, they've taken this, and it's a big flagship thing. It's the thing that they've made the biggest deal out of since Gears of War, really. It's been the only thing that Microsoft have got to talk about. And it's been through, I think it's been worked on by more than 10 studios. And it's obviously like a collection of mini games that they've tried to add enough stuff to make them not mini games anymore. And it just none of it works very well, except for the Rancor Rampage stuff, which is awesome. So yeah,
sorry, I'm just watching this video of Pete versus Kinect Star Wars. I never watched it through to the end before. You really do enjoy being a Rancor. You can see it on your face.
I really don't. It's like a childlike glee.
It's lovely. It's really nice to see.
It is like depressed face. Oh, I'm a Rancor. Wow. Depressed face.
It is.
Yeah, I don't get excited very often, but being a Rancor monster filled me with joy.
Mm. I'm pleased for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if for people who like dancing games on Kinect and who like the Clone Wars TV show
and the Vodafone adverts,
yeah, and who think that the Star Wars trilogy involves pod racing and squeaky little brats and
Misa like you, sir,
yeah, it'll probably go down reasonably well. But for anybody that remembers old proper Star Wars, or anybody that thinks that Jar Jar Binks should have just been drowned, then just avoid it at all costs.
Mm.
Which is a shame, really.
It is. But like you said, you kind of just have to resign to the fact that Star Wars, as you know it, is dead.
Yeah, pretty much.
This game wasn't really going to go any other way, was it, though? There's been no positive videos of it.
No. Well, this is it. When they announced it, I thought, well, you know, obviously it's a better fit for Move. You want lightsaber battles with the Move controller, it's kind of what it was made for. And at the very least, Sony should be working on something which ripped off Star Wars
completely.
Massively. Like the Wii did with that No More Heroes thing. Mm. They should be working on something that has laser swords in it.
You can just slice stuff up at, like, with one-to-one. Yeah, that would be good.
It doesn't even have to be laser swords. Any torts of any sort of sword.
Yeah.
But when they announced this Kinect Star Wars, I was kind of hopeful. I kind of thought, well, maybe, you know, maybe they'll do quite well by it, and we'll see. Like, don't judge too much. But then at every stage since then, every sort of preview round that people have had, there's been nothing positive about it. So, was kind of expecting it to be shit, and seeing the dance mode announced, and it seemed that the dance stuff was announced fairly late in the day. Like, it really does have that feeling, too. Like, they made this Star Wars game, and they've taken it into the board meeting, the boardroom and said, look, we've made this, and this is the new Star Wars game, it's fantastic. And the people who make the decisions have said, yeah, there's not enough there for us to sell it for £40.
Can't you put some dancing in?
Yeah, we need something that actually works with Kinect. What works with Kinect? Dancing games. Yeah. So, yeah.
It was that or Star Wars Zumba, wasn't it? So.
I was going to say, prepare yourself, bloody Jabba's Wii Fitness. Wii Fitness? That doesn't make sense. Moving on.
Yeah, so, yeah, pretty much just avoid Kinect Star Wars.
Done.
Yeah.
I will.
Definitely sounds worth avoiding.
Yeah. It's a shame, that Rancor Rampage game, if they'd have made that an XBLA title for, like, £10 to download, it would have been great. Because there's enough fun in that that you could get it, and if there's a group of friends in the same room, like, you saw the video of me playing that, and I looked ridiculous, and everybody can laugh at me. And that's kind of, you know, it would make a good party
game.
Don't
worry, Peter, we're all laughing at you anyway.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch Chris's Dance Central video now.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. That was kind of intended for me to be laughed at.
I think Pete put it up with the serious intention that people judged his dance moves as, you know.
I'm not waiting on the call from Lady Gaga.
You sure?
Pretty much.
Because, I don't know.
Moves like Jagger, Pete. Moves like Jagger.
Moves like Jabba.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's terrible.
Is that one of the songs on the dancing mode?
No, I don't think it is.
So should be. Didn't you say in the review they've got, like, tacky remakes of songs with kind of Star Wars-y lyrics?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, Christina Aguilera's Genie in a Bottle.
Got the moves.
That's perfect for it.
Christina Aguilera's Genie in a Bottle becomes Princess in a Battle.
Oh, Princess and Genie. Yeah, there's a rhyming couplet.
Yeah.
You are my beautiful princess. I want to see the genie. Done. Poetry. Yeah.
The thing is, you concentrate so much on not messing up the dance moves that I wasn't actually listening to the songs. Yeah. Which is probably a good thing, because it would have enraged me.
Probably just buy the original soundtrack somewhere, couldn't you?
Oh, God. It wouldn't surprise me.
Put it on at parties.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful.
Well, thank you for enduring it so the rest of us don't have to.
Exactly. skipping into the comics world now for a moment, very briefly. What have I been reading that is worth talking about? That's not utter tripe.
Have you seen the latest issue of The Boys?
I haven't actually, because I tend to pick up in trade rather than issues.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, the volume.
Oh no, I haven't got.
It's
tiny.
It's like half the size of the previous one.
That's a shame.
Sorry, just a random. I was going to buy it and I thought, well, no. Anyway.
No, that's fine. It's fine. So this week started this cool little crossover called it's called the Mega Drive. Not Mega Drive, the Omega Drive, and it's a crossover between Spider-Man, Punisher, and Daredevil, and it's pretty cool. And it is this thing that Marvel's been doing a lot recently, where they do little mini events. So this is all within; it's over in a month. It's like a three-part crossover. It's a little mini event. It's all branded. It's quite nice. I got the first part today, which is Avenging Spider-Man. Avenging Spider-Man, I haven't been buying, and talking to the guys at the comic shop, no one else has been buying. Because we all went, yeah, this is a fucking terrible idea. But it's kind of Spider-Man and the Avengers teaming up, because they went, you know what, there probably aren't enough Spider-Man books, so I guess we could do with more Spider-Man books. That would work. It was a kind of awful idea, but it's in this crossover, so I would get this one issue and probably never pick it up again. So this is the start of this thing, which is basically a couple of issues back in Daredevil. Daredevil got this drive called the Omega Drive, which contains all of the secrets of like five of the biggest criminal gangs in the world. They're absolutely huge gangs. And quite amusingly, at the end of the last issue of Daredevil, because they realised that because they were all five together, they can't. No one of them can make a move individually, because if they do, it'll start an all-out gang war of the others. At the end of the last issue of Daredevil, which I don't remember what spoke, because it was hanging out last week. At the end of the last issue of Daredevil, he kind of went and said but it was really funny because he got pissed off of waiting for them to attack, so he went and wound them up so they'd come attack him quicker. And it was brilliant, and this week's Avengers Spider-Man is absolutely gorgeous. It looks wonderful. The concept's lovely. The crossover stuff with Daredevil and Spider-Man kind of feels very natural. Spider-Man kind of, it's a little bit shoehorned, but the reasoning is simple enough for him to come in. It's not completely out of the ordinary, and in general, it kind of just works. And this looks like it's going to get a bit crazy by the end of things. And yeah, it's something that's certainly worth picking up, in my opinion. And I think for a little crossover and something that Marvel seem to be moving towards, it's quite nice. And I'm liking these. They did it recently with Venom as well, and that was quite well done as well, because it just wraps it all up very quickly and gets it out of the way. So you get a nice story. You get lots of people coming together. It feels quite natural, more so than a big event where they kind of have to invent reasons for like 100 characters to come together. This is like the Venom was about 6 characters came together, and this is just 3 characters coming together, and then the crime families. I'm really enjoying that. It's good. So that's worth getting. At the other end of the scale, what I'd say is probably not so good was last week. Avengers vs. X-Men kicked off proper of issue 1. Not particularly good. Not enough punching in it, because kind of all I really want from that series is punching. It turns out there's a separate comic called Avengers. This is literally the title. It's Avengers vs. X-Men, and the series within that is called Versus. So it's Avengers vs. X-Men Versus.
Versus who? Who is the third party?
It's just called Versus. That's apparently where all the punching is in that one. So I'll probably be getting that, because mostly I want the punching.
Yeah, go where the punching is.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only purpose of the... I'm not really sure why they created a separate book to have the punching in, because it's sort of the purpose of the event is the punching. Also,
so they can sell you two books because they like money.
Also, the storyline is all right, but kind of just like Cyclops is an idiot, kind of going, "Hey, the Phoenix Force might be a good thing." But no, it's pretty much not a good thing, dude. You were kind of there last time. It also, like, it eats stars for fuel. Probably not a good thing at that point. It could fuck Galactus up in a fight.
Yeah.
Probably not ideal, I could be honest.
I could take Galactus. Take him to places he's never been.
Ooh, kinky. Yeah, so that's kind of alright. It's not brilliant yet, but it might not be awful, I guess. That's not much of a recommendation, though. It might not be bad.
It's not the most glowing praise you've ever assigned anything.
Not really, is it? No. Yeah, it's alright. Yes, there's punching and stuff. There needs to be more punching. But what I do like with that is it's on a fortnightly cycle, so it all gets out of the way quite nice and quickly, you know?
Mm.
Which is a good thing, I generally find.
That would be good. I hate waiting for a month between issues.
Well, it's also the fact that it's this big event, so it's actually surprising that they're running it like that. They're trying to get it all over. It's still a long thing, but it's I think it's about 4 months, and it's normally about six, so it's faster than it would be, which is a good thing, and pleases me. It seems like it'll be alright. It's a bit weird because I think the way it's written is mental. So I think like the creative team changes in like an issue or two, because basically they took all the best writers and all the best artists, and instead of going collaborate, they went, okay, you guys are writing this set of issues, and you guys are writing this set of issues, and you guys are writing this set of issues. And I'm like, what are you doing? Jesus. Because normally what they do is go, hey, you write this main series, and you write this spin-off series, and you write this spin-off series. But instead, they seem to have just chopped the main series into blocks, which is mental. It's meant to, from what I've understood from Marvel's like preview stuff of it, it's kind of like meant to segment the event into chapters. So it could work quite well, or it could just be confusing and fucking terrible. We'll have to wait and see. So that's comics stuff. Also, don't buy new Avengers books. Not the new Avengers book, that's good. Don't buy Avengers Assemble, the obvious movie tie, because it's fucking stupid. And don't buy Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, because our readership, our listenership isn't seven. Obvious.
There are seven of them.
Obvious movie tie-in titles are obvious. Yeah.
And always shit.
They might be alright, but I haven't heard. I basically said to them in the shop, and this is a shop trying to sell me stuff. I went, is Avengers Assemble worth getting? And they went, no, not really. And those are guys trying to sell me things, and they said it wasn't worth getting. So yeah, probably don't buy that. I think we're running quite long. Here we are. So Dan, do you mind if we skip over Dragon's Dogma? Do you have a lot to tell us about it, or?
Fine, screw you then. Whatever.
No.
Right. No, I mean, the preview of it's going up when this podcast goes live anyway, so.
Read that
just
instead.
Read it.
Yeah, read today's preview words. Of Dragon's Dogma. Dragon's Dogma.
Is that going up? Is that going up on Monday?
It is.
Is that a Monday thing?
You mean right. Today?
Today. No, it means I don't have to edit it now, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I can wait. Alright, cool. So yeah, read that instead. Is it alright, or is it a bit shit?
A mixture.
Cool.
Got a lot of good stuff, but it's kind of boring quests. So.
Is the combat as confusing as fuck, like when I played it?
No.
You're just easily confused.
Well, no, because it's when I played it. Is it still like the combat uses a lot of buttons when you're in combat? Kind of like you have a button to raise your shield, and then different things happen when you raise your shield and stuff.
You got use your face buttons, and then you can use the triggers to kind of modify what the face buttons do.
Yeah, and what was confusing with that was there was no intro to it.
No, it's just yeah, you kind of find out by yourself. It's like, oh, I can do this move. It's like, how? Got the best of tutorials.
Yeah, and kind of what was really ineffective for me was while you have the game, I had 20 minutes to play that at a preview event. So I was just like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Put my shield up. Eventually I stabbed a thing, I think. So, stabbed a lion griffin thing.
Gryffindor!
Yeah.
Sorry, for a second there, I thought it was the sorting hat.
Go read about Dragon's Den on the website. We can't read everything out for you.
It's true.
We're not an audio.
We are not, in fact, screen reading software.
Right, time for the quiz. As Lewis
quiz!
Quiz! Peter has written one.
Yeah, that's the new quiz jingle, by the way.
Quiz!
Alright. I presumed that Peter, being the intelligent gent that he is, would go and get the pre-written quiz that he'd been boasting. He's like, oh, I've got this backup quiz, it'll be wonderful. And then he realised that he'd written that when he was very ill and had a high fever and can't find it. And I'm not entirely convinced it's real.
I'm not entirely convinced that he can't find it. I think he's just found it and gone, oh god, this is what I wrote.
I think it was just the hallucination of a fever dream.
Yeah, which is really in my job box, but it's not there.
Yeah, I wrote a quiz, and then I was in my primary school, and my mum was there, and I was only wearing a towel. It was really weird.
And to be honest, if you have a fever dream about something, that's not that interesting either.
No, there's no ninjas in it. No. I've had a fever dream about ninjas before. It was actually really scary, because my legs were caught up in the duvet cover, and I had to kick it away, but they were ninjas that I was kicking.
Oh, I had one like that with sharks once, where sharks were trying to eat me. Mm. And it was just a duvet.
Quiz! Okay. Questions 1 to 10.
All right. Can I also point out to our listeners quickly that at the start of this podcast, before we started recording, Peter went, I haven't got a question 10. Any of you got a question 10? Forgetting that we were taking part in the quiz.
I think he forgot how quizzes are written. Not generally by their participants.
Well, I'm not a quiz master. Lewis usually does this bit.
That's true. We miss you, Lewis.
Yeah, you might actually notice that question 10 doesn't really fit in with the rest of the quiz.
Did you actually do what I suggested and just Google quiz question 10 to see what came up?
Pretty much, nice. Yeah. That's basically what I did. So, it's sticking with the kind of theme of the whole podcast. It's about motion controls.
All right.
So it's 1 to 10, and the first question is, how many Kinect-only games have been released in Europe since its launch in 2010? That's games which require Kinect to work.
Ooh.
Not games in which Kinect is a feature.
All right.
Okay, question 2. How many of those Kinect-only games has a Metacritic rating of over 70? Oh,
that's easy.
Yeah. Oh, no, actually, no. Yeah, that probably... Oh, maybe... Yeah.
Okay, question 3. How many of those with a Metacritic rating over 70 are dancing or fitness games?
Uh-huh.
Is this a trick question?
That's our little Kinect section. So now we'll move on to Move. How many Move-only games have been released in Europe since it launched? Also in 2010.
Is this just giving all stats?
Yeah, pretty much. Right. Question 5. What was the last Move-only game released in Europe, and when was it released? There's actually 2 of them, both released on the same day.
Oh, Jesus. it's going to be something random, isn't it? Like Move Fitness.
I couldn't possibly comment. Question 6. Yeah. How many games were released that used the Nintendo Power Glove?
There was a Nintendo Power Glove?
There was.
Not, probably not technically a motion controller. Yeah, probably.
It's, according to the film The Wizard, it's Wicked, I believe.
No. technically not. But that's the next question.
Oh.
How many films has the Nintendo Power Glove appeared in? It's question 7.
Well, it's at least one.
Okay, question number 8. How much in US dollars did the Nintendo Power Glove make? Question 9. What shape was the Sega Activator for the Mega Drive? And question 10. What was number 1 in IGN's top 100 video game weapons?
Alright.
Fuck.
Bit of a non sequitur, but there you go. So, does anybody need any more?
No. Got all 10 answers.
Yeah, okay. I got 10. None of them are right, but.
Yeah, I can't guarantee a single correct answer here, but.
You've written down 10 things,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, I've done my best. That's probably not true.
All anybody could ask. Okay, so question 1. How many Kinect-only games have been released in Europe since it was launched?
I said 10.
I put 6.
I said 15.
So, really? There has been 72.
Really? Jesus.
72 wow. games which require Kinect to work. Oh that doesn't goodness. Include, like, Forza that has a Kinect mode.
Jesus Christ, I've never heard of any of them.
I put 6. And that was me being generous. No, same.
Yeah, I put
72.
I put 15, and that was just a random guess.
So
this is like Sony's new statement. There are like 6,000 move-enabled games.
Question 2: How many of those games has a Metacritic rating of over 70?
I put 5.
I put 1.
I've put 4.
Kev,
I put 1.
There has been 12.
Really? Jesus.
Yeah, but I think like 3 of them are Dance Central games. 2 of them are Dance Central games.
Oh, yeah, I did 2 for Dance Central. Then I'm pretty sure UFC Fitness. And then kind of my mind went a bit blank.
I put 2 for Dance Central and 2 for the sports games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Like, they're pretty good.
So, question 3. How many of those with a Metacritic rating of over 70 are dancing or fitness games? So out of the 12, how many are dancing or fitness games?
I put 5 again.
Okay, I'm guessing 5 now because I know it's 12.
Can I amend my answer now that I know that there are 12 above?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say 12?
The answer is 5.
Yes!
Wow, well
go
done.
Me.
It all goes down here.
So, question 4. How many move-only games have been released in Europe since it was launched in 2010?
100.
It was launched like a month before Kinect.
I'm thinking that now, based on my previous performance in this quiz, my guesses are a little conservative. But is it 4?
Chris?
I have embarrassing... can I amend my answer in light of previous answers?
Yeah, why not?
That's not right. How a quiz works.
It is if you get to it before the questions are being marked.
65.
No. There has been 19.
Oh, my Ooh. First answer was way closer.
Compared to the 72 confused, from Microsoft.
Yeah, there has only been 19 move-only
games. This is
games
a TSA
in
article
Europe.
In the making.
What was the last move-only game released in Europe, and when was it released?
I'm going to say Move Fitness and January.
Oh, I didn't hear the and when previously.
I put Sports Champion What's It, which is definitely not the answer. That's not even a game.
I put Start the Party, some sequel.
Oh, and I... No. iPet. There's an iPet one. Never mind.
The last move only... These all answers according to Wikipedia, so there will be a margin of error, I'm sure. The last move only game released in Europe was Medieval Moves or Carnival Island, and it was on November the 18th last year.
Of course, well, Carnival Island.
I got those some games on. I got terrible. Some games from... Oh, in January. Move.
Carnival Island. That's not a thing.
Carnival Island.
I've literally never heard of that.
Okay, question number 6. How many games were released that used the Nintendo Power Glove?
One.
One.
I guessed 2.
The correct answer is 2, Chris.
Yes, get in.
Super Glove Ball and Bad Street Brawler. Both of which could be played with a standard controller. How many films did the Nintendo Power Glove appear in?
Again, I have put two.
Two is the correct answer.
Yay.
It's the Wizard. I don't know what the other one is, though. The Wizard and something else.
The other one is, it was slightly adapted, but it was the Power Glove, and it appeared in Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare.
Yeah, I figured the other one wouldn't actually be the Power Glove, it'd be like the Power Glove as something. Alright.
So then, bearing in mind that it had two games and it appeared in two movies, how much in US dollars did the Power Glove make for Nintendo?
$3.
$10,000.
Okay, brace yourselves. Estimates say that it made roughly $88 million.
Why aren't any in existence? Yeah, where are they?
The question is, though, how much did it cost?
88 million.
One unit was sold.
I'm not sure because I was looking at so many things. I think it was maybe $80, but that might have been something else.
That's madness.
But yeah, it sold a lot and they didn't make any games for it. But apparently it also lost money.
Oh, Jesus.
So, question 9. What shape was the Sega Activator?
Oh, it was
put,
a ring.
Phallus brackets turgid.
Rectangular. No, it was a ring, and you put it on the floor, and you punched and kicked over it to play
stuff.
Yes,
it was. It was a ring, Chris, but it was an octagon.
Mm. Oh, will you accept ring as
No. Oh. An octagon has flat sides.
Depends on how bad your vision is, I suppose.
It is definitely octagonal.
But the in UFC, they play in an octagonal ring.
And if
and in wrestling, they play in a square ring.
Hang on, yeah. What era was this? What era was this?
It was like 19... Oh, it was probably 91.
So if you were to try and render that in computer graphics of the era, would it not look like an octagon?
Well, I think the real test would be to give your girlfriend an engagement octagon and see how it feels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you undo it with a spanner? It's not a circle. Question 10. Yeah. What was number one in IGN's top 100 video game weapons?
Cerebral Ball. It has to be.
The what now?
The Cerebral Ball, Turok 2. It sent a drill into your opponent's head and exploded it.
That is quite cool. I put the Groovitron from Ratchet and Clank.
Because I'm a Halo fanboy, I put Energy Sword, brackets, and if it's not, it should be.
Well, I can tell you that Chris was the closest.
The lightsaber.
Because it was a sword.
Oh, what sword was it?
It was the Master Sword from Legend of Zelda A Link to the Past.
What's so good about that sword?
IGN's number one video game weapon was the sword from The Legend of Zelda.
I didn't even know there was a sword in The Legend of Zelda.
There's always a sword.
There's a sword in all the Master Sword. It's like a recurring theme, Kev.
Hmm.
Who knows?
Never played them.
And also,
totally shit.
If you're going to pick a fairly normal sword, sure you'd pick the gun sword from that Final Fantasy game. That's pretty awesome.
8.
That was number 100.
Oh, what? No, that's pretty cool.
Please tell me the Cerebral Ball was in there.
And I don't know. I didn't have time to look through.
Right, I'm looking this up. The Groovitron was awesome. Just fire a disco ball at some people and have a little dance.
I make that Chris winning
with
3 points.
Well, of course I won. I'm awesome.
I think that's an all-new low for me. I'm not sure I've ever actually gotten no answer.
You got one.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you got the film.
Oh, yes. 2 films. Phew.
So there you go. That's the quiz. Quiz over.
Right. Then it's question time. So sticking to the Twitters at first, Kev, would you be so kind as to get up the forum questions?
I'm on it, boss.
We could go from oldest to newest, as I normally do. This comes in from, I'm not going to pronounce that like that. This comes in for M4TT_2011. I presume he's trying to say Matt, but no, it says M4TT. particularly as it says Matt in his picture, but still. If you could have a celebrity guest on the podcast, who would they be? Well, firstly, it's weird that robots are asking her questions, because that sounds like a robot name to me, M4TT.
Maybe it's his military assignment.
Yeah. So if we could have a celebrity guest, who would it be?
No, can't think of a celebrity. Who's famous?
I'd like to have Peter Molyneux. Does he count?
What was the question, sorry?
If you could have a celebrity guest on the podcast, who would they be?
Piers Morgan.
Get out.
Jesus.
Of the country. Just leave.
No.
I'd quite like to have Russell Brand on here. Just going to put that out there. I'm a big fan. I think he's got an energy to him.
Peter, anyone you'd like?
No, not really. I don't really like celebrities.
Would you not like Peter Molyneux? It'd be nice to have a chat with.
Yeah, I don't think you can really class him as a celebrity.
Depends what, if we're talking celebrity as in, like, Heat magazine, or celebrity as in renowned for things they've done.
Yeah.
True. I suppose we could class him as a celebrity.
People know
Peter
he
Molyneux, he would give a great podcast.
He would.
Or rather than celebrity, should we just say, like, famous person? I think he counts as a famous person.
Yeah, he definitely counts as a famous person.
Did you read that interview he did with some site that was good?
Probably it was.
Oh, when he was talking about his new studio.
Yeah.
Quite good, I thought.
He's a very clever man for all the derision and the joking and the mocking that we all do, me included. He's a very clever man, and the industry would be a worse situation without him.
Exactly.
Icon.
STM Fuller says, who's at Danley 24, which is a bit harsh. He's the blokes on the Sea podcast.
It's Dan.
Yeah, it's Dan.
Dan's a gentleman.
Is. Yeah. If you haven't quite worked out who Dan is.
Ex-cage
Dan was my celebrity pick for this podcast.
That's a Jim will fix it in action right now.
Oh, that's if we were having celebrities on the podcast, we'd have to have wrestlers, wouldn't we?
Oh, yeah. Stuff like Randy Orton. Or is the Ultimate Warrior? I think he's dead.
No, he's not.
Alright.
You said that like you've actually got him in your basement. No, he's not.
I can definitely vouch for his aliveness.
I should imagine that, like, Peter keeps a constant check. Just like he has a Google alert set for Ultimate Warrior death.
I haven't checked for a little while, but I'm going to now.
That implies you have checked in the past too much. Is he alive? Yes, thank God for that.
Do you know, because once, a few years ago, I looked up information on one of my favourite wrestlers from when I was very young, the Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich, and I thought, oh, I wonder what he's doing with himself now, and I looked him up, and he'd killed himself.
I'm so sorry.
And that was a difficult time in my life.
Alright, is the Ultimate Warrior dead or alive? If you found
the Ultimate Warrior is still very much alive.
Alright then. Is this based on Wikipedia, or are you just still saying it to reassure yourself?
Oh no, it's based on Wikipedia.
That's right then. So we could have the Ultimate Warrior, that'd be awesome. Or Hulk Hogan, that'd be pretty cool.
Ultimate Warrior didn't retire until 2008.
Really?
Brother.
Christ.
What was he doing between when he was on TV and then?
It's like about 50 years.
Yeah. He ran the Warrior Nation, didn't he?
Hulk Hogan still hasn't retired. He's still doing stuff.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ultimate Warrior ran like a wrestling school.
Neither's Ric Flair, actually. He's still going.
Yeah, but he's not. Is he? Is he still working?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're talking about wrestling again. Move on.
Yeah, we haven't even had a question. I would bring Ahmed Best, who you may not recognise by name, but you would certainly recognise the voice that I'd get him to do for the entire podcast, because he was, in fact, the voice of Jar Jar Binks. Oh, and I'd get him to do his Jar Jar voice the whole time.
Peter would leave.
I would. I'd just hang up on him. I'd kick him off the call.
Aaron Suddy says, which game characters would not adapt well if they entered our world?
Kratos.
No, he'd be fine.
Really?
Like Pac-Man. Pac-Man would be fucked.
He'd be like, whack, 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 and get run over by a truck.
Yeah. He's not going to do well.
Or just, like, eat a load of mysterious pills. That wouldn't go well.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
aren't pills, Pac-Man. Those are road markings. You're in
or
the way.
Like, Frogger's not going to do well. I mean, Frogger found it pretty hard anyway. So.
Sorry, are you stuck in, like, the late 80s?
Yes.
Gaming characters. We go, what have I got? Pac-Man, Frogger,
Jessup Willie. He'd shit himself.
Yeah.
Dizzy. Dizzy wouldn't.
So who wouldn't adapt very well?
Yeah.
I think Mario. I don't think he could handle it. It's too painful, yeah, the real world.
The assault charges would be horrendous. Vandalism. Taking of substances.
Unnecessary mutilation of turtles. Why is he just jumping on turtles the whole time? Who the hell does this guy think he is?
I think Drake,
you know,
could do
you
well.
Remember that woman who put the cat in the bin? This would be worse. This guy stamps on turtles.
Petter would have a nightmare. Really?
Do you know what? I don't reckon Nathan Drake could do well because you can't go around shooting people that much.
I don't think
not that much. So you have to draw a line somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd. I think he'd be all right. He is essentially already in the real world, except for stupid supernatural elements in his universe.
And the ability to get away with, like, no one investigating gunshots ever.
It's fine. They're all in a jungle. Let them do what they want.
Yeah,
what happens in the jungle
of
stays in the jungle.
Bodies must be dreadful.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Nick, is there any more questions, Chris? Or
no, I thought we were still mulling it over. That
oh, right, no. I think we've all given an answer. One more.
Right. Padachi says, just got Comixology on my touchpad. What do you reckon I should get first?
A new tablet device?
Oh,
gosh.
I think. if it runs. That must be running Android, though. And Android runs pretty well on it. I think get like Justice League and Flash and
WebOS.
Batman.
What's WebOS?
They're pretty good.
I don't think you can get the boys in Comixology.
Oh, I'm sure you
yeah,
can.
Yeah, I don't
sure
think it's
can.
In Comixology.
It actually, I might have created a US account. I think you can get them.
Sure. And DMZ. That's get, pretty awesome.
Flash from the New 52.
Yeah, pretty much all the stuff that we talk about every week.
Just get all
you
that.
You know when we do that podcast which features comics? Have a listen to
get
it.
Get that stuff.
I heartily recommend a comic called G-Man as well. There's
isn't
only
that the guy
issues.
From
Half-Life?
Yeah.
No.
Thanks, Chris. I was totally stuck on the name there. I was like,
it's a run by the guy that draws the. Is there a comic series about Marvel babies or something?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's the guy that drew some of those, Chris Giarrusso or Giarrusso or something.
Yeah,
it's got a strange name. He draws and writes it. And it's about a kid that has a magic cape that lets him fly, and his brother that has a magic... I think his brother has a magic belt, and he can fly. And it's kind of a bit superhero-y and kind of quite funny, and just a little bit sort of kooky and weird, but it's very good. And I think the first issue is free.
Awesome.
So you can get it and try it. It's called G-Man Cape Crisis.
Hmm. Sounds quite good.
Also, if you flick about on Comixology, there's... if you go into the free section on there, there's a load of comics, but there's also like DC put all their previews and stuff on there.
So a lot of origin stories as well.
Yeah, so you can flick through that and kind of figure out what you'd like. And then finally, Teflon says, seems that Peter has a filthy obsession with Nicki Minaj. So to the other hosts, would you tap that?
Let me just Google what she looks like.
I don't even know what she looks like.
I'd say no, because I'm still not convinced Nicki Minaj is a real person.
No, she is. I've heard her songs. They're good.
No, I'm not convinced.
Well, if you go to mypinkfriday.com, that is, in fact, Nicki Minaj's website.
Is it indeed?
Not convinced.
Yeah, don't get the spelling wrong, because that's something else. I don't even know what I'm referring to.
People have tried to explain Nicki Minaj to me in the past, and the information falls out of my head again. So
Nicki Minaj is awesome. I wouldn't say that I had an unhealthy obsession. I wouldn't say that it was a filthy obsession. I wouldn't even necessarily call it an obsession. I'm just very curious about Nicki Minaj.
Have you seen the picture of her?
Well, that's somehow creepier.
She's just very weird. She's very odd. It took me ages. I couldn't work out if she was really, really good looking or if she was really, really creepy looking.
Creepy.
I think I remember having this conversation on the podcast, or at least listening to it.
Yeah. Oh, I've kind of come down on the side of she looks really dirty, so that'll do me.
I think she's not horrendous. She has a huge... She's got a really large... Has she had an operation?
Her derriere. Oh, I think I know the pictures you're looking at, though.
Oh, God, that doesn't sound pervy. Page six of Google Images, yes?
Yeah, it's in my bookmarks.
I'm not really downplaying this filthy obsession thing, am I?
I mean, that is not natural. Surely.
No, she's very strange. Peculiar looking. And she has a lot of, like, fluorescent pink hair sometimes. She's just very weird. I find her very interesting.
Not a real person.
She does kind of look like she's made of plastic sometimes.
Yeah, I think she's probably some sort of synthetic.
You should watch her YouTube videos.
I should.
She's much, much better in motion.
Yeah. This is getting a bit creepy.
Happily married man.
Yeah. I'll probably wait till Kate's out to watch the videos.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that's...
Time to move on to the forum questions.
Well, this week we have only Stephen's questions. Nobody has responded on the forums.
Right.
I can read some of them out.
Or we can keep it short because we're running quite long.
Just skip it.
Pick maybe one or two.
Just to be fair. All right.
He's put a bit of effort in.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. Well, I'm not doing that one. Do you think Sony has done well with the Vita in terms of support so far?
Yes, all right.
It feels a bit like it's slowed down to me.
Yeah, it has, I think. I think it has slowed down a little bit. I think that because they had such a strong launch lineup, they can kind of get away with a little bit of a down period. But that period of letting them away with it is coming to an end.
The Japanese sales figures are in, and it's dropped below 10,000 units.
Yeah,
Pretty damn bad. That's almost Xbox bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't played mine for a bit. Like, I kind of feel like I finished Escape Plan now. I finished Uncharted. I don't think I'm ever going to finish
most
of them.
Pick up Star Drone. It's not bad. It's like £3.
Maybe I will. Star Drone. I've never heard of it.
Star Drone Extreme just came out on Wednesday.
Oh, cool. I should really read that website that we do a podcast for.
Yeah, the PS3 version of that game was quite alright. So I imagine the Vita version will be quite good too.
Yeah, I've had a quick go on it. It's good. The thing is, that's what I'm finding, a lot of the smaller titles are what I keep coming back to.
Yeah, that's definitely been the case with me too. And even like strange things like... the darts game and Hustle Kings, the pool game, are probably the two that I've played the most on it, which is a little bit peculiar.
It's because you can just kind of dip in and out rather than having to kind of sit down and dedicate an hour to kind of playing through.
Yeah, I did really like Escape Plan for that. I only finished it on the train up to London the other day. In fact,
well, it's got new levels, hasn't it?
Are they out now? Were they out this week?
I think so. I think they came out on Wednesday.
Cool. And they're free, I believe. Is that right?
Yep.
Well, thanks very much. Was that Sony themselves? Who's developing Escape Plan?
I can't remember. I think Sony are publishing it, so... Yeah. Cheers, Sony.
Yeah, nice of you to
free stuff, always good, isn't it?
I like free stuff. like a bit of freebies. Yeah, sorry, Stephen. You write a lot of things, but this time no one's responded, so...
And we're kind of running long anyway, so we have to wrap up.
Yeah.
Yes, let's wrap up.
Fun Bit this Interactive, sorry, the developer of Escape Plan, who should thoroughly be rewarded.
Anyway, this has been episode 60 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I have been your host, Chris Leskamp. You can get me at twitter.com/HowPro. I've been joined this week by regular guest, regular co-host, I suppose, and editor-in-chief over at 6axis.com, Peter Chapman. You can get Twitter as Colossal Blue. Also been joined this week by that there, Kev Adsett. You can get at twitter.com/KevTron400. And finally, filling in for Lewis Gaston, has been the rather lovely news editor for 6axis.com, Dan Lee. You can get on Twitter as DanLee24. So yeah, that's about it, really. Thank you all for listening once again to us rambling. Yeah. Cheers and that.
Do you notice the pattern, by the way? When I wasn't here, quite a short podcast.
Yeah, we were trying to make it a little bit shorter last week, trying to get through things a little bit quicker, keep it punchy.
If you shut up, it'll be a bit shorter this week.
Oh, sorry. we'll put this in the music, in the credits.
Yeah. Say goodbye, everybody.
I'm just going to fuck myself.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah, that's the brown note.
Did you just poo yourself with rage?
Yeah, might have done.
Oh, lovely.